begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language.
You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
I'm back.
Oh yeah, we're all back. I'm Morgan Nickel, Big Mouth Dickhead from the internet.
And I'm Dylan Reeve, also present.
Welcome back to Discourse. It's been an exciting week for everyone, I'm sure, except me, because I was pretty much just sick in bed the whole time. But now I'm not so much sick and more sort of tiddly.
Not in bed.
A little bit of what ails you?
I've got a scratchy throat, so I might cough a little bit if that adds to the atmosphere.
If you cough, you'll make me cough. Don't cough, Dylan. It's like an emotional response. Yeah, so I hope that the stream's up all right. My internet's been extremely unreliable lately.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, I should probably call a help desk or something.
Yeah, you should definitely do that.
I upgraded to this thing that seemed like a good idea. It was all very flashy and it hasn't worked very well. So what's been going on with you?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
So, straight into the news, is it?
Yeah, well, we'll start with a nerd thing,
yeah.
Geek thing,
yeah.
Internet thing.
Yeah.
Orcon released a new plan.
Oh, yeah. I bet they'll slightly cock it up.
Probably. Yeah. It's unlimited.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll make it work?
No one has ever made unlimited internet work in New Zealand before, so my knee-jerk reaction would be no, and I bet that all the business account holders will get shafted, because I know I did.
Shall we ask Orcon head of brand?
We've got a guest on
things
Discourse.
Like that.
Yeah, let's
Quentin
do
Reed.
Hi guys, how are you?
Quentin, the new unlimited plan, it's unlimited, will it suck?
We hope dearly it won't. No, look, we're working really hard to make sure it doesn't.
Those hedging words.
Yeah, look, we've moved to three plans only. So we've got a 30 gig plan, a 60 gig plan, and an unlimited plan. So unlike a lot of our competitors that have sort of buried their unlimited plan as a sort of adjunct, ours is front and centre. So look,
actually,
if it doesn't perform,
it's off to the right.
Yeah. Well, good point, well made. If it doesn't work, it's gonna look bad for us and impact us. So we're working really hard to make sure it works. The network engineers tell me that they've got a really clever way of doing it, and that it's all going to work. Happy days.
Network engineers are also renowned to drink very heavily.
Yeah, especially when you make beer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point. You must have boxes of that stuff sitting around.
Yeah, we've got a few left. I've got them stashed away. They're sort of Christmas presents. We'll have to organise something for you guys, actually.
Right. So the talk of it on Twitter and why I wanted to talk to you was that the unlimited thing's kind of a curse. We all want to not have to worry about how much bandwidth we use because we constantly use a lot of it for all sorts of things. But previously, it's got kind of a bad name, and some ISPs, telecom, have gone that way and then bailed on it when it didn't work out. So you've already said you don't think that's going to happen. And what happens if it does? What do you do if it the first month everyone signs up and downloads a crap load of stuff off the internet and it all turns to poos?
Well, there's sort of two things at play here, I think, that are important to know. One is that since a lot of these plans were originally done, people are using a lot more data anyway. So we're used to people on 200 gig plans regularly downloading 200 gigs. So the way, most ISPs are used to people using a lot more data now than they were 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago when these plans were introduced. The other thing that we're doing is we've created two separate pools of bandwidth. So all our existing users will be on the same bandwidth pool that they're already on. So they'll see no difference. It's business as usual for them. So these new guys coming on aren't going to affect people who are on existing plans. So what we need to do is buy a ton of bandwidth for the new people, have that sitting in a pool, and manage it. If it starts to get overused, we need to buy more bandwidth. It's that simple.
Is that the only option, or could you stop signing up new users?
Well, it's either way. You either buy more capacity or you limit the amount of people using the capacity.
I think internet usage is like speeding. Anyone who's going faster than you is out of their mind. right? And so that means a lot of people think, you know, 110, 120, that's fine. But if you're going 130, you must be a lunatic. But then there's people who are going 100. I think the internet thinks the same. I feel like my usage last month of 220 gigabytes was perfectly reasonable. But then there'll be all these other people who'll use 400, 600, who knows how many. Terabytes, possibly.
Like one of my colleagues who is on a 30 gig plan and doesn't hit her cap.
Yeah.
What craziness is that?
And so the thing is, I want to stay away from those people. So I'm going to stay on my ordinary Orcon data pool. And given that I'm paying the same price as they pay for unlimited, that means effectively I'm actually subsidizing them. So you better be really careful to make sure my experience is unaffected, because although I have had some problems with the new device, my experience generally with Orcon internet connections is that they're really fast and very reliable, and I am desperate for that not to change.
Because the one thing we've been really clear about is that if we bring on these new customers and don't ensure that people like yourself are unaffected, then we're in a world of trouble. So completely separate pools operated in completely separate ways. You know, We've been onboarding a lot of capacity. We've been buying a lot. We bought another gig of capacity last month. So look, we're pretty confident that we can do it. I think the other thing is, in this day and age, with with podcasts like yourselves and with Twitter and things like that, it's going to be pretty apparent pretty quickly if it's not working for people. Yeah. So
Well, of course, the people who are most likely to take this up are also the ones who are most likely to bleat at you on Twitter.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work out, I'll be one of those people.
Absolutely.
Well, is that entirely true? Because I am the person who is most likely to bleat, and I'm not taking it up. So there you go.
Well, that's your problem. It's interesting to hear, because I didn't realize. So you've actually provisioned entirely new bandwidth to cater to. So if anything, Morgan, your service might get better because people like me, who are currently sharing bandwidth with you, are bailing and going into a completely separate pool.
I look forward to that day. Actually, I don't want your filthy type, your proletariat internet type, all over my clean, pristine internet. So actually, I prefer that you go over to this filthy, new, slovenly pig slop pool.
Have you thought about branding it that way, Quinn?
No, but I'll take it on board, actually.
Yeah, because you've got cats on the website. Maybe on the far right there, the unlimited data one should have a big pig.
Just covered in slop.
I'll be moving across to it, and I currently get through round about 200 gig a month, but I don't think my usage will change dramatically. Yeah. I might be more inclined to use sort of an online backup service like Mozzie or something like that, which I haven't done. So, but I don't think definitely my downloading usage won't change. I think if anything, the only behaviours that I personally would change would be sort of some sort of uploading to an online storage.
Are you on VDSL or are you on plain crappy ADSL?
I'm on a cabinet, and I'm about 100 metres from the cabinet, so I sync at about 18 meg.
Oh, I think we don't need to talk about this anymore.
I'm in Parnell.
Most of those online backup services, I like the idea, but just at my, 800k upload speed or whatever it is, it's just too saddening to think how long it will take me to sync everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are offering it on UFB as well. Not that I'm in a UFB zone, but...
If you could bring me a fibre, that'd be just fantastic.
Yahoo! Achoo!
Sorry, the studio audience is sneezing. It happens.
Apparently twice. I'm not in a fibre area. There was a little map tool, I guess, from Telecom or someone, and I was able to enter my suburb, and it said Parnell, no fuck you. Which I thought was very on the nose.
Get fucked.
Yeah, get fucked.
No, actually, I'm moving house at some point, but I'm in the year 2 plan at the moment. And if you go 100 metres down the street, they're in the get fucked zone.
Yeah.
So, yay. But
yeah.
All right, so your plan is going to be awesome. It's available, now to new customers, but people, poor slackers like me, have to wait till the end of our billing cycle at the 23rd of next month to switch over to our unlimited goodness.
That's correct.
Just a coincidence that the plans were launched the day after the billing cycle change. Coincidence. I have to wait the absolute most longest period of time I could. That's all right.
Again.
Yeah. It's okay.
I apologise for that.
All right. It's just your billing system.
Why have I not received an email about this?
We will be sending emails out in the coming weeks, but
probably don't want to tell existing customers right now so they don't get upset.
So many people following us on Twitter and Facebook, sort of 20,000 people between the two of them. So, you know, we do cover off a heck of a lot of our customers straight away. And look, we will definitely be telling people about it because look, we think it's great. We think it's a great plan that a lot of people will want. And I think it's changed. It's not just your data hungry sort of people that are, you know, your traditional heavy users. I think we'll see a lot of families want to do it too, a lot of flats that want to do it. We get a lot of people that come through every now and then and don't really understand how caps work. And I say, oh, my teenage son came back from university and I've got this huge overage bill. I don't know what happened. And I think, yeah, exactly what happened.
It must be YouTube.
I had a massive blowout 1 month and I don't know why. I actually never figured out what did it. Like it went way above my normal usage.
Yeah.
And that was when I was on like a 60 gig plan. I went up to like 150 gig in 1 month or something.
I think it was probably RedTube.
No, I always take the low bandwidth option.
Moby Hun.
Yeah.
Yep.
Those small still images.
Safer. With this new faster internet, there's a whole category of new technologies which are gonna be changing our lives. For instance, the way that we have sex hasn't changed a lot.
Oh god. So Quentin, thanks for joining us. Do you wanna hang around for wherever this is going?
I'll listen in, but I'll bow out of talking.
Yeah, fair enough.
If you've got a bone and thank you for joining us so very much. You were a good sport. What do you do when your partner, assuming you have a partner, moves out of town or goes on a business trip? Well, you could buy the tiniest Bluetooth headsets in the world and talk all day. Apparently, I don't understand that reference. Or you could sext all day and FaceTime all night, I suppose. Or you could buy a Love Pals. It's a Wi-Fi connected love machine that let's be nuts and bolts about this. There's two tubes, one which has things put into it and the other which moves in and out based on the things being put into the first one. And I don't know, it doesn't sound exactly romantic.
Do you know, to be honest, I am amazed this has not happened sooner.
Agreed. Considering it's only $100, it seems like it should have been done at least years ago, maybe for $400.
I can't believe it hasn't happened sooner. I've been waiting. Oh, that doesn't sound right. I've been waiting for something like this to happen, and I can't believe it didn't.
The people who should have done it are those Fleshlight guys, because I bet I've never tried a Fleshlight, but, you know, if you listen to many podcasts, you can't avoid hearing endless ads for them, the old Fleshlights. It sounds like they're pretty good, the Fleshlight device. And so perhaps that is who should have made this, because I don't imagine this thing will be as good as a Fleshlight. Anyway. I think the girl side of it, or the maybe not girl, the catcher side of it, I think that side is probably the less. I probably shouldn't talk for other people. Maybe other people like kind of hearing servos as they are.
Is there a video of it soullessly? Not explicitly, but of the moving parts moving?
There's a Vimeo. I bet it's going to have a terrible soundtrack. Yeah, there we go. Terrible soundtrack. Wow, could they have made a longer video? It's 4.5 minutes long. I don't think I need that much time. They're not getting to the point. I don't have time for this.
All right, excellent. Yeah, no, I have been amazed that this technology hasn't come about sooner. I honestly expected it years and years ago.
Well, I mean, people were talking about it in the early 90s. I remember people talking about it, and that was one of my favourite early phrases, teledildonics.
Yes.
It's a nice one. Dildo is such an awful word, and adding
tally. As soon as you could suddenly buy all sorts of weird little things to plug into your USB, I thought, why hasn't this happened yet?
Yeah.
Anyway, now it has. Fantastic.
Maybe you can get these things from, like, Alibaba already.
Oh my goodness, look at that. That's interesting.
Surely, I mean, there must be a bunch of... I mean, those Japanese fellows, they have some sophisticated devices. I mean, surely there must be...
If you order now, you can have a customized name engraved on the body.
That doesn't... Well, I mean, I guess I'd put my own name on it.
Well, obviously. On both sides.
Yeah, both sides. Naturally. Or you know, maybe.
I wonder if it can do one to many pairings, because you can buy the male and female sides individually.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you can have like, oh dear God, I wonder if you can have like, yeah, one to many situations.
Yeah, understood. So for instance, Bieber could have all of his,
oh my God,
whatever his little fans are called.
15 minutes.
Believers. Oh Jesus. Yes, that would be fantastic.
So
that's good. Let's talk about something that's not this.
We should talk about the email that we just received. I want to make it very clear that I want them sent to me. But aside from that, let's not talk. So something really interesting that happened this week. It's not, that's the wrong way to sell it. Something fun that I played with this week is XKCD's click and drag. Gigantic. Someone calculated it as being about 14 feet wide if you printed the pixels at, you know, a normal resolution. This kind of click and drag explorer mappy thing on XKCD. Did you see that?
Right. You know, I did, and I feel like a complete retard, and I'm doing it now. I feel like a complete retard because I looked at it.
Yeah.
I looked at the comic book, and I was like, what the fuck? I don't understand this.
Yeah. And you did nothing.
And then I just went away.
Right.
I didn't actually do what it says so profoundly all over the damn comic.
It says click and drag. Click and
drag. I did not do that.
The first thing I did was decide to see how far up it went. And it went up very far. But unfortunately, because it was just, I mean, at the moment I'm seeing how far down it goes, and it's just black, and I can only assume that I'm actually scrolling correctly. Now, we're basically dancing about architecture now, listeners, so I think you should go to xkcd.com/1110 and play with it yourself if you're an XKCD person. I think you'll probably like it.
Or even just like playing with internet things.
Yeah. Just like playing with internet things. It's I don't actually know, I haven't looked at how he's built it. I imagine it's probably one of those tiling map sort of things.
I'm just looking at that now actually. Oh no, it seems to be.
Is it? It's not a single image.
It's 165,885 pixels wide.
Yeah.
And 79,872 pixels high.
But it's not one image, is it?
That is unclear to me at the moment.
If it was one image.
No, it is four images.
It's only four images. Well, why am I looking at it in this? I would rather look at it in Photoshop with a friggin' zoom in and out function. I don't want to friggin' scroll around.
It looks like it's four images that you could probably stick back together.
I want a jetpack. God damn it.
There must be more than that. No, there must be more than that. It's only loading four images initially, and then it must load...
I bet it's a tiling thing. Images
after that,
it's a tiling thing like Google Maps.
2048 by 2048
each. Right. Only 2048 by 2048.
Well, you know, comparatively speaking.
The thing is huge, though. I mean, I scrolled a long, long way to the left, you know, over mountains and past radio masts and past people having little adventures of their own. And then I discovered a sea and I crossed that. And there were, like, pirate ships and lighthouses and people trying to swim. And I, you know, kept traveling all the way across this ocean and discovered another land and mountains and trees, and then I noticed a little hole going down into the ground, so I followed that down deep, 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 felt like kilometers down into the ground, and discovered a cave with little branching passages heading off it and other people trapped in holes and digging their way. And just
someone must have put the whole image together somewhere.
They've put it all together here right on XKCD.
No, but like a one big thing you can download, look at and zoom into in Photoshop.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I just tried dragging around it with the inspector open in Chrome, and it, as you drag around, it loads more tiles.
Right.
So there's lots of tiles to.
It's kind of like using cheat mode in a game. You know, I think it probably isn't as fun if you can do it easily. You know, if you don't have that risk.
It's kind of neat to look at, though. Anyway, yes, that's very cool.
Yeah,
so I feel stupid for not realizing what it was. I shouldn't have even admitted it.
You really should not have admitted that.
Actually. I shouldn't have admitted it. Forget that. I totally knew what it was instantly, and I actually got there before it was cool.
As a single uncompressed 32-bit 79,872 by 165,888 pixel image file, it would take up 52.99 gigabytes of space. According to the chat room, that's Kevin in the chat room.
It is compressed. It's a PNG, so it's...
Yeah, that's true. It's obviously not a 32-bit image. It's probably actually
8-bit.
Yeah, if that, it's only black and white. It'll just be a couple of shades of grey.
It's dimmed. It's dimmed, so it could be 4 or 8 or 6. some short number of bits.
So there's a link there in the chat room to blacksphere.com/storage/xkcd_huge_static.html. And who knows what this is, but it's very large and loading very slowly, or maybe loading fast, but giant. Oh, yeah, there we go. Oh, yeah, wow, that's big.
There's a lot of white at the top.
Oh, my God. Well, so that's the left. Oh, my God. Wow, but now I can scroll around using my little mouse click and draggy thing. Not click and draggy thing, you know, the whatever it's called, the middle click thingy. And that's really fast. But I wonder how much of the story
I'll miss. Can you draw on the Harbour Bridge? Is that the Harbour Bridge?
Our one.
It's just a bridge.
Whereabouts anyway. Do I have to go to see it? What are the coordinates?
I don't know. All right. I'm going to do a story.
All right.
You give me one.
Hey, let me...
And now the news. Next story.
God, is it that already? Well, where should we begin? I'm going to go... I want to go to Apple Maps. I'll do that later. But on my Facebook and on Twitter this week, a bunch of people popped up with just say no to US military bases in New Zealand, because there was a headline in Stuff. And in fact, there's some others as well that were a bit similar. The headline in Stuff reads, US keen to station troops in NZ, Panetta. And that was based on a quote from Leon Panetta, the US Secretary of Defense, on Q&A, where he said, oh, I can't find the exact quote. Here we go. Mr. Panetta said it was asked yesterday if troops could be stationed in New Zealand. Mr. Panetta said it was up to New Zealand, but he suggested the US would be interested. It was bizarre because the people I saw presenting it were presenting it as if the US had come here and said, we want to have a base.
That is a diplomat's answer. That's not even saying yes or no. That's saying we'd be interested.
What it is doing is not saying no. It's not saying absolutely not. We wouldn't ever think about sending troops here. In response to a journalist's question, no one has suggested that it would happen. It's just Rod and Christie. No, it wasn't Rod and Christie. It was the silly names of those people on the TVs. One of those television interviewing people.
Yeah.
Asked him if they would consider having a base here, and he said, we wouldn't rule it out, basically.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that turned into a whole lot of people saying, no, my God, the US wants to open a base here. National's trying to push for a US military base here.
Yeah. You know, we've had US soldiers stationed here before, and...
Well, we do. We do already have a US military presence here in Christchurch in the Antarctic, and the Antarctic program down there.
Right.
That's all US Air Force.
Right. I'm not sure that's quite what people mean.
No.
I'm in favour of, of continuing the thaw of our relationship. I think under no circumstances should we allow nuclear weapons in our harbours. But we don't need to anymore. The thing in the 80s was that they wouldn't confirm, which even though everyone bloody knew already, which of their ships had nuclear weapons. And so we just had to say none of them can come because they wouldn't confirm it. Naturally, they wouldn't confirm it. But we know that none of their surface vessels have nuclear weapons. It's their subs that have them, and their subs are never going anywhere outside of the US. You know, they don't want anyone to know where they are because it's absolutely vital, and particularly China and Russia.
Pretty sure there was one in Sydney.
Eh?
Pretty sure there was one in Sydney.
I've seen a sub over there, but it wasn't a new one.
All right. Anyway, so yeah, that was one of those frustrating things where something rather. Yeah, something innocuous became a big thing among certain people.
Yeah.
And it was a nothing thing because it was just a question he was asked by a journalist. It was never based on anything.
Unfortunately, the Kitty Squad and the National Caucus, they are a pack of fucking retards. And I'm sure they would imagine that we'd be able to get some sort of sweetheart free trade deal and themselves some kind of awesome golden handshakes later on in their careers. If they did do something like abandon our anti-nuclear policy, by lunchtime. So we've got to get them out of the story. Actually,
maybe that's true. Maybe they would, but I think they probably also, or at least some of the smarter ones, probably also know that doing that would be a massively alienating move for the party amongst the majority of New Zealanders who don't want to see those things happen.
Especially now that we've weathered all the worst of it and everything's warming up again, with the only country that had a problem with us taking the stand we took.
Yeah. So there you go. That's one. I got another one.
Next story.
I'll do maps.
Oh, yeah.
It's the awesome iPhone iOS 6 maps.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure everyone who's listening, hopefully everyone who's listening knows, but you know, Apple launched their new iOS, and they didn't want to have Google on board anymore, and they did want to have their own mapping application.
Yeah.
They bought some mapping companies. They put together a mapping program with some kind of nifty features. The 3D thing's quite cool.
Yeah.
And they released it, and it turns out they're not actually that good at mapping yet.
Mapping is really hard, and we can take it for granted because Google Maps are so... I mean, of course, while not being without fault, they are so good. They're, you know, possibly the best maps that civilians have ever had access to.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've taken a long time to develop.
Yeah.
And they have... I've seen an estimate suggesting that Google... I find it hard to believe, but that Google has 7,000 staff in their mapping division, basically.
Well, it's possible now, because there's so many data sources involved in building Google Maps. It's not just... You know, a satellite person and a kind of a street map person. It's, I mean, if you browse around the different layers and so on, you'll see a whole lot of different data sets combined together. And then add to that the fact that, you know, I can look at Bangkok maps just as easily as I can look at Auckland maps, right?
Yeah, and with just as much detail in most cases.
Yeah.
An interesting Tumblr setup, which has no shortage of moderately hilarious websites, moderately hilarious screenshots of these crazy things.
Mm.
But essentially, there's a really good blog article which I've got a link to. I'm not gonna read it or go into much detail, but essentially, it summarizes the problem that Apple faces is in that they've probably addressed it as a software problem.
Yeah,
they've taken these disparate sources of information and created software to make them work together.
Yeah.
Without putting necessary human interventions in place to make sure that the data is good and the data is normalized appropriately and things like that. Mm. And that's, you know, where you get information where, like, for example, you have, you know, you can search a business and it will give you the correct street address, but then put that in completely the wrong place on the map.
Yeah.
That sort of, you know, basic stuff that obviously humans would be able to work out a lot easier than software, probably.
Yeah.
So it's good to, it's amusing, and it'll be interesting to see how Apple deals with it. It may be obvious to some previous listeners that I'm a little bit cynical about Apple, more so the more things like this happen.
Yeah.
And this, it's just another one of those things to me that seems very Apple-y.
We're told that they have attention to detail surpassed by no one.
Well, attention. Oh, that's another thing that was vague offshoot of the thing. The as iPhone 5s are starting to arrive with their new owners, a lot of people are noticing very small imperfections, scuffs, scratches, nicks, which probably with other phones would go unmentioned. You know, just but Apple makes such a big deal about their, you know, their precise, ridiculously precise manufacturing and engineering and design that, you know, you kind of hold them to a higher standard because of it.
There were no scuffs on my phone when it arrived.
No. I don't remember any on mine either. There's plenty now.
No. And that, you know, I mean, if you're going to go on about how you're manufacturing, how you're inventing different milling stuff and you're, you know, ahead of the industry, you've actually got to really be ahead of the industry. If you pretend that you have a higher standard, you have to have a higher standard, or you're going to be, you know, held to your stated standard, and they're not living up to it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think the new device is boring. And the new iOS, because of this mapping thing, I have, you know, a little iPad, I'm not going to update because I can't get Google Maps as an app. It's inexplicable to me that I can't get Google Maps as an app. I don't understand why that is.
Well,
I've got Google Earth, but it's not quite the same thing.
I've seen some people say that that the app hasn't been approved by Apple, but I've seen other people say that Google hasn't even written one or hasn't tried to submit.
But of course they've written one. There was one, and it was on the device.
Haven't submitted a standalone app. Apparently the app that was on the device was a... I don't know what the hell's going on, but apparently it wasn't a standalone app in the sense you know, that all the apps in the App Store are. It was an app that had hooks into, essentially the iOS had base hooks into the mapping.
Right.
That the app that was on it was a front end to those hooks, and those hooks don't exist anymore, so you have to rewrite the app.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm sure they're up to it if they've got 7,000 developers in their maps division.
Up to it, but do they want to?
I think that they do want to. I think that they want people to use their software.
I guess services. So, and it also it's another way to score points against Apple, which they seem keen to do.
Yeah. Points scoring, there's nothing like it. You know, Auckland actually scores a few points now and then.
Next story.
And in this latest story, this is in the Lonely Planet travel guide to New Zealand. Auckland wins top billing as in terms of the top 20 experiences in the country. Auckland wins top billing twice. Auckland taking out both position 1 and 2 for our harbour and our city, which must make all those whining little bitches in Wellington absolutely piss themselves because they are relegated not to 3 but 4. Surpassed by Rotorua. Suck it.
Because our harbour is good and our city is good. Unfortunately, where they meet is still a bit shit.
It is a bit shit. And actually, there's another excellent story in the Herald about... there was a great quote on that Lonely Planet story from the mayor of Rotorua, who was absolutely delighted with his position. Would like to be number one, of course, but naturally he would say that, wouldn't he? But there's another story about Aucklanders begging, really, to have our waterfront maybe returned to us. I don't know. Have we ever really had access to our waterfront in Auckland? I mean, of course, ignoring the fact that Auckland is a big place and some parts of Auckland's waterfront are readily accessible, I'm talking about the central city, you know, the kind of the focal point of our whole agglomeration, which has got, you know, some ferry terminals and some apartments, but no access to the water. And most of it is actually container yards and, you know, berthing for big ships. But since we've had the Wynyard Quarter development kind of on the fringe of the central business district, which allowed people to actually get their feet into the blimmin' water for the first time in, you know, a century, probably, you know, anywhere near the CBD. You know, now that we can see how nice it is having access to our beautiful harbour, I think people really want that access. And there have been stories, certainly in the last decade, you know, where we've had opportunities possibly to... before the Rugby World Cup, there was talk of...
Well, there's the opportunity for the stadium down there.
Exactly. A stadium which would have brought with it a park.
And a lot of redevelopment around there.
Exactly. And, of course, it didn't happen. What we had instead was, you know, Eden Park being
but then aren't roughly some of the, I mean, facelifted. Even when you had Quarter, which is good, I'm under the impression that a lot of the neat bits, when you go down there now, a lot of that neat stuff that you see is actually all slated for commercial development once they've finished with what's already going on down there.
Yeah.
That that cool kids playground and all that green space is all going to get turned into office buildings.
Yeah.
Low rise.
Don't be too attached to it because I think that the plan was for most of it to have been gone already.
Yeah, basically we just get that little strip of wharf, North Wharf food thing. And
which is the least nice part. That's the part which you just want to get through.
Yeah. It's a part where you can't find anything you want to eat at a decent price.
No. That tram is a joke.
Oh, but it's so funny. We met some friends from Melbourne the other day on Sunday and asked them if they'd ridden our tram.
Yeah.
They had not.
Anyway, in a Herald poll, more than 3/4 of Aucklanders who were questioned want more wharf space opened up to create world-class public areas on the waterfront. Local authorities have responded by saying bringing Aucklanders to the harbour area around the end of Queen Street will be the next chapter in the city's development. 1,000 Herald readers have given their views on the waterfront, and as we know from your views and such, Herald readers, not all smart cookies, not all sharp knives, not all reasonable people. But sometimes, you know... I mean, if you just want to roll down a hill, a broken car might work sometimes. I didn't want to use a stop clock. 96% of respondents said the waterfront was important for the city. And, I mean, it's hard to argue with that. Even the commerce-focused people would say that was true, but they would say that that was why the container yards should stay where they are, because of the shopping, how vital the shopping is. Yes, it definitely needs to be right there. Yes, it's definitely where it needs to be. We've spoken about moving that before.
There's not many great alternatives for where to put that, but there are some.
Well, we spoke about that a few months ago, and there was one pretty good alternative just up north a little bit. Just need to to strengthen up the rail links, and away you go.
Oh, that'll happen.
Well, I mean, it might. There's already rail into Northland. You just can't take it.
Yeah.
There's no passenger service. But if you look, in fact, on Google Maps, probably Apple Maps won't show it. If you look on Google Maps, you'll actually find that there's an excellent rail link that runs around the left of the harbour and up through Kumeo and so on, and up into Northland up, I think, to Whangarei. There is already a rail link all the way up there, but I don't know how sophisticated it is. Or if it's multi-tracked it's not, or anything like that.
No, absolutely not.
But, I mean, so that's just an infrastructure project and that's a thing which can, you know, provide employment for desperate New Zealanders who want a job. And desperate New Zealanders who want a job should stay the fuck out of Kawarau, apparently, because Kawarau Mayor wants them banned. What's his name? Malcolm Campbell. He's both the mayor and the butcher. So he's got two jobs.
That's a good combo.
That's a bit greedy, actually, isn't it? Two jobs.
I'd like Len Brown a lot more if he was a butcher.
Would you?
I don't know.
How about if he was a carpenter?
No, it's just meat. Mm-hmm. I'm really into meat.
Are you? Yeah, I remember you having some pretty big steaks at our barbecues, like steaks that were really too big.
That 1 kilo steak, we never should have tried to. Well, I never should have tried to eat that.
Meat sweats. Yeah. Meat sweats. Delicious. So the girl went away to Sydney to see her a good buddy of hers, and I had I don't even know what the cut was, a roast, one of those rolled up roasts with a string around it, sitting in the fridge waiting to be cooked. And I was like, you know what, I could wait for it to come back. It was like 2 kilos or something. And I was like, I could wait for it to come back, but instead I could just put it in the oven. So I got some yams and some parsnips and some potatoes and cut some bulbs of garlic in half and slathered it all with olive oil and chucked it in the oven for a while, and I had that whole friggin' thing all to myself.
Well, not all in one sitting.
No, I had some of it the next day. Yeah. But probably two-thirds of it that night I ate. Made a great gravy too.
And you just sat very still for a while.
It was so good. Oh, man. Yum, yum. So a small Northland town says unemployed people moving into the district are more trouble than they're worth. Kawarau in the Bay of Plenty, the mayor says the recent arrival of 5 families from South Auckland has led to a rise in crime. So he's proposing a radical policy. If you don't have a job, don't move there. If you don't
have
a job...
I'm not sure he can stop people from doing it, but...
No, he certainly can't. And fuck him. If you don't have a job and you live in South Auckland or wherever in New Zealand, then you should not be able to come to Kawarau unless you have an employment to bring here, he says. Mr. Campbell says the 5 new families with criminal backgrounds and 25 children between them recently moved to town without jobs. They bring a lot of social issues with them. That's the real problem for us. Just trying to alleviate some of the social issues that come with it. But how do you stop someone moving to your town? That's up to social welfare to implement,
well,
as far
I'm
as we're
sure
concerned.
Social welfare have in the past discouraged people from moving to places where there is even less employment.
You know what else social welfare has done? It ceased to exist. It's called Work and Income New Zealand. But you wouldn't expect a mayor to know that, would you?
Ministry of Social Development now, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. Something like. Anyway, what were you saying about them? 7,000 people live in Kawarau.
Yeah, and I'm fairly sure in the past they've actively discouraged people from moving to places.
But they don't have employment. Yeah, because there's not much prospect of getting a goddamn job there. When 3 News visited, it resembled a ghost town. We asked a few locals. We saw what they thought of the mayor's policy. One local that 3 News spoke to said the policy is just wrong. Anyone should be welcome anywhere. So there you go. I don't know that he's necessarily representing his constituents, but what a wanker. Congratulations, Mayor. Maybe we should tell him he's not welcome to come and visit Auckland.
I like. There's another thing in that article. He says, just this week, a beneficiary was caught thieving. The mayor has some strong views on that as well. If somebody has committed a crime and they are on a benefit, then they should have their benefit cut immediately.
Right.
Which is an interesting policy.
It's a very bad idea because the reason that they will commit that crime...
I'm not sure what they'll do then.
Yeah.
They'll just stop. They'll have no money.
If I had no job and I had no benefit and I had children and they were about to starve to death, you wouldn't be able to stop me from taking stuff from other people. There is literally nothing you could do short of locking me up. And you wouldn't have an easy time locking me up because I want to get home with food for my starving children. Taking the benefit away from people who are already pretty precarious, you know, in terms of being able to feed themselves and have even slightly warm houses or any house, what a disastrously bad idea. It's just a typical example of really just not thinking things through at all.
Well, it's very myopic thinking.
Yes.
It's always what... I mean, the frustration I have, because there's the whole... we haven't talked about it. I'm surprised we didn't. I think we just didn't get around to it.
You've got very quiet.
There we go. The stuff about kids and lunches in schools and then all the other stuff that's been going on about benefits being cut in various scenarios. We only ever see the benefit stuff. We only ever get like hyperbolic cases that get used as an example for everyone.
Yep.
So, or just straight up stereotypes. Even like so, we assume that the however many kids are, like the Campbell Live story. I don't know if you saw it, but about the kids and their lunches in the DeSalle One school and how more than half of the kids in this one class didn't have lunch at all, anything. And then quite a few of the ones who did have something had fizzy drinks or a bag of chips.
Yeah.
And the easy answer is their parents are shit and don't care about them or whatever. But the problem is, I don't think many parents would do that or are that. But we don't know what the real situation is.
Yeah.
I'd really like to see someone go out and find 50 or 100 of these cases and just anonymously compile details about the individual situations that these people find themselves in and why they are like that. And so maybe some of them are, you know, squandering their earnings or their benefit on shit that they shouldn't be. But I think the majority of them probably aren't.
Yeah.
And it would be so much better for the discussions that we have around all this stuff to actually have, you know, if we're gonna deal with anecdotal things, which we always will, to actually have a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
So that we can say, yeah, sure, some people do, you know, needlessly waste their income or their benefit on cigarettes, booze, drugs, gambling, whatever.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, a whole lot of them don't and budget really hard and still find it incredibly difficult to make ends meet.
Yeah.
And we never get to have that conversation. We talk in single anecdotes and one direction each way. You know, for every dole bludger that one side has, a struggling working mum the other side has.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Next story.
That stuff's frustrating.
Next story.
Latest exodus to Australia worrying. John Key says immigration figures showing an acceleration in the number of Kiwis leaving to live in Australia are a wake-up call for the government.
I'm so glad that the National Party got voted in and we've stopped that.
These numbers are further evidence of the failure of the government to address the core issues of why Kiwis are leaving. They are a vote of no confidence in the government.
Mm.
They highlight the fact that we need to make meaningful changes if we are to encourage tens of thousands of people to stay here. Our economy cannot afford to lose them. New Zealand is already struggling under a skills shortage, and this exodus will add to those worries. That was John Key.
Very reasonable statement.
That was John Key in February 2008.
Oh.
When 28,000 New Zealanders left for Australia.
Oh, well, and it was a vote of no confidence in the Labor government, and we did vote National in to fix it. So that's
in
good.
The year to August, mm-hmm. 53,900 New Zealanders moved to Australia. 53,900. Well, John Key was losing his shit when it was 28,000.
Right.
And under his government, it's increased dramatically. It is the highest level ever. It is a record, you could say. And if a figure half that was a vote of no confidence in a government, in John Key's own words, what is this figure? John Key said that people were leaving people were leaving New Zealand because they were waiting for tax cuts. Well, you know, we got tax cuts. Didn't make any difference for most people. He also said that they were waiting for improvements in their basic living conditions, and that has not happened. If anything, for many people, things are much harder.
So, what the fuck are 51,000?
Yeah.
What the fuck are 51,000 people doing in Australia?
It's 53,900. What are they doing? They're going over there and they're getting fucking jobs. And they're
really 54,000 of them. In
a year. Amazing. In the year to August, 53,900.
There's that many jobs available for New Zealanders even.
Yeah.
Like, there's not, you know, there's obviously, wow, that's very impressive. I think I should learn to dig holes.
It's very easy to learn to dig a hole. You probably already know how to do it. I don't think they
probably... Yeah, not with a 700-ton excavator, I don't, but that seems like something I should learn.
Yeah, I don't think they want you in mining anymore. I think mining is just about full.
I can work in my industry, but I have to live in Sydney to do that. I don't really want to.
You know, Sydney, there are lovely parts of Sydney. I've for a long time disliked it. Yeah, but
it's prettier.
Yeah, but it's also much colder, isn't it?
I don't know. It's a bit like Auckland, isn't it?
Sydney's not. Sydney's nice and warm.
Yeah, but well, when I went to Sydney in February, it was unpleasantly warm.
Yeah.
Next story.
So John Key had a problem before the last election when he was re-elected. He had a problem. He had tea with John Banks, who he still stands beside, even though he is, you know, basically, you know, a complete scumbag who has no chance of being elected again.
I'm going to take a very quick side before you carry on this.
Yeah.
And Parliament question time today, or 2 days ago, if you're listening to the podcast, because you're not awesome and join us live. John Key quoted from the police report that he hasn't read.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
He was asked if he'd now read it. He still has not, but he quoted from it.
Right.
It was awesome. Carry on.
So he had tea with John Banks, and we know what was discussed there, but we didn't find out until after the election.
Wouldn't have made much difference.
It wouldn't have made much difference because it actually wasn't very significant. The whole thing was an overreaction on John Key's part, I would say. Might have been strategic overreaction. But anyway, the chap responsible for that was a guy called Bradley Ambrose, who is a freelance cameraman and left a wireless microphone on the table in the cafe. Now, it turns out Bradley Ambrose was probably as unconcerned by the events going on there as he appeared to be, because he's got gigantic balls. If you've seen this week, the footage of a chap, a volcanologist possibly.
Not a volcanologist, another freelance cameraman.
Is he just a freelance cameraman? He's not even a scienceologist.
No, he's just a dude who loves adventure.
Right. Well,
he's also the guy who films crazy, you know, he's got lots of volcano footage and does all those crazy tornadoes and storms and shit like that.
Yeah. So they went up to Vanuatu, which is, it's an all right place to visit. I've been there, and it's all right. It's dirty, though. You'd be surprised how little infrastructure a country gets if it has no income tax. No standing army either, though. That's pretty good. Anyway, this chap, Jeff Mackley, visited with Bradley Ambrose. And if you watch this footage of him inside this volcano, 400 metres inside this volcano, it is astonishing. It's another, once again, dancing about architecture. You should watch this because the surging and spraying and splashing of lava is just almost incomprehensible.
So the first
he went so close to it is out of his mind.
Because he wanted to. It was a lifelong buzz.
Or, you giant know, balls. Life-ending buzz, possibly.
Well, very nearly could have been. The thing I saw first on YouTube, which is that mesmerizing shot of the dude Jeff Mackley standing, and I'll find out later he's 30 meters from the lava, basically standing on this edge of this cliff with this boiling mass of molten rock behind him, and it's really hard to tell what it is. You're like, okay, well it's clearly lava. Is he standing on like a giant hole into a lava tube or something? What is it? No, he's standing right on the edge of a crater, and he's actually, a couple hundred metres down into the crater that they've abseiled down to get there.
Yeah.
And you don't see that. There's an establishing shot I saw on Campbell. There was a story on Campbell Live that had more footage, and there's an establishing shot just to show just how insane it is where he's standing. Yeah. And he's basically on the edge of a lake of lava.
Well, I didn't see that, so I haven't seen...
No, you should... because it's crazy. The footage that you're talking about is awesome, and it's amazing. And then you see the footage that provides more context into it, and it's just like, holy shit, that whole thing's taken on a different level of intensity now.
Yeah. It seems Vanuatu is quite attractive to camera people. One of the most appallingly ignorant people I've ever met was a photographer I met in Port Vila in Vanuatu in about, I don't even remember, 1998 or something, I guess I was there. He asked me if we had chicken in New Zealand.
Do we?
He asked me if we had pizza in New Zealand.
Right.
He was trying to build a bridge, I guess, a cultural bridge across the divide. But good Lord.
So apparently he took his 8-year-old daughter, Bradley Ambrose took his 8-year-old daughter on the thing with him.
That would have been very exciting for her.
Yeah.
You know what else would be very exciting?
Next story.
Making, medical and scientific advances in improving survivability of people who are very ill. For instance, people who have tumours inside their bodies. The BBC reports that on a robot snake that guided by a skilled surgeon and designed to get to places doctors are unable to reach currently without opening a patient up, the snake could help spot and remove those tumours more effectively. Robot snakes could be as minimally invasive using body orifices or local incisions as points of entry. Surgery is a cornerstone treatment for cancer, so new technologies making it even more precise and effective are crucial. Thanks to research innovations such as keyhole surgery and robotics, they're transforming the treatment landscape for cancer patients, and the trend needs to continue. So basically, they will feed one of these snakes up, Dylan, specifically, your bottom.
Oh, yes. And, like a little eel.
Yeah, a lot like a little eel.
Next story.
Hospital removes eel from man's bum. A man sought emergency treatment at a hospital in Auckland this week with an eel stuck up his bottom. The unnamed individual presented himself at the A&E department at Auckland City Hospital to explain his embarrassing problem. It is believed the patient was sent for x-rays and a scan, which showed there was an eel lodged inside him. The eel was about the size of a decent sprig of asparagus, which is a little one, and the incident is the talk of the place, a hospital source said. Doctors and nurses have come across people with strange objects that have got stuck where they shouldn't be before, but an eel has to be a first. It is unclear how the eel managed to be trapped inside the man. It is believed medics successfully removed it, and the man was later discharged. It seems actually extraordinarily unprofessional for these doctors and nurses to be chatting about it, really, isn't it? Anyway, I did
ask them for privacy, and they assured me.
I've had a salad niçoise delivered.
Okay.
So I'm going to be a little bit distracted. I'm just pouring on whatever the sauce is.
Oh, eels.
Delicious. I mean, we shouldn't have heard about this.
It is weird. I think they're somehow allowed to kind of anonymously report these things, because this sort of information always comes out in the amusing, funny, terrible stuff that happened to people when they went to hospital kind of things. Those stories always come out.
Also, given that this guy, I mean, we can...
Someone says apparently, or Kevin in the chat room says apparently the jaws were taped shut.
Right.
Well, that is the precaution you'd want to take for something.
Now here's the thing. This, we can give up all pretense. He was obviously sticking this in his ass for sexual pleasure.
Is that a thing? Is there a website about this?
Which means that this is bestiality. Surely. He was having sex, essentially, with an animal. An animal that can't give consent. So I think that this chap, I think he has to be charged. You know,
we can... Well, I think maybe we should take a complaint to the police and get them to investigate. We believe the law has been broken and we should insist that they investigate it. I believe we can do that.
Because the thing is, you can eat an animal.
Yep, you just can't stick it up your bum.
You just can't have sex with it. And except perhaps when it was dead. I mean, perhaps you could cook a sausage and stick that in your bottom. It's still, technically, you know, an animal. But I wonder, I mean, maybe it was dead the whole time. But, I mean, why would he do that? I mean, surely part of the fun here for this guy would be that it was wriggling. I mean, I'm just guessing. You know, it's a bit of conjecture.
Yes, no, it is a lot of conjecture.
Next story.
when you have a fire in an aircraft, there's no place to go. Exactly. There's no place to go. And you can't find any oxygen from outside the aircraft to get in the aircraft.
Oh, no, that you can't, no.
Because the windows don't open. I don't know why they don't do that. It's a real problem.
No. So it is.
So it's very dangerous. So this is essentially, this is Mitt Romney revealing another way in which he is thick. This is from another fundraiser.
Why don't they open? It's about his wife was in a plane that had an emergency and there was smoke in the cockpit. Right. He didn't understand why his wife couldn't open the window just to get some fresh air.
Why haven't they got wind down windows in planes?
Well, I think it's just because it would be that those little sticky outy things to wind the windows down would be in your way. And I think probably the other issue would be that you know, you'd get those fights about some person wants the window down and some person wants the window up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to take the top down and leave the windows up.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't
think of any other reason.
No. Well, perhaps this is all entirely reasonable then. Mm. Maybe he's not insane and ignorant.
Next story.
Sweet times ahead for cows as gummy worms replace corn feed. As the worst drought in half a century has ravaged this year's US corn crop and driven corn prices sky high, the market for alternative feed rations for beef and dairy cows has also skyrocketed. Brokers are gathering up discarded food products and putting them out for the highest bid to feedlot operators and dairy producers who are scrambling to keep their animals fed. In the mix are cookies, gummy worms, marshmallows, Fruit Loops, orange peels, and even dried cranberries. Cattlemen are feeding virtually anything they can get their hands on that will replace the starchy sugar content traditionally delivered to the animals through corn. Now, here's the thing. It is not traditional to feed cattle with fucking corn or starchy sugar content. What it is traditional to feed cattle is grass.
Not in America.
And even in America, just not for the last century is all, since they have had ridiculous farming subsidies on corn. Corn,
the delightful
which makes
irony of all of this is, of course, that most of those products that I mentioned there will have been made using copious amounts of high fructose corn syrup, which is used in place of sugar because it's cheaper, because corn is cheap.
Because of farming subsidies.
Because of farming subsidies.
Yeah.
Except now a drought has knocked out the corn. Maybe Coke will be made with sugar again.
One can hope. I think we get sugar Coke here, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because high fructose corn syrup isn't cheap here.
No. As anyone who's tried to make blood before will know.
Caro syrup you can't get in any ridiculously large quantities here.
Well,
you have to make it with golden syrup. I mean, it's just not the same.
And even that is not particularly cheap.
It is not.
If you want to make buckets full of blood, and also it's much too dark, golden syrup. It's golden, you might say.
It is.
So we've got about 2 minutes and 12 seconds, approximately. There's some things we traditionally...
Best of life hacker.
Do you think I've got one? Do you think I've
no.
got... No. No, probably. I probably haven't.
We've got a guest on Discourse.
On the bright side, we already did that bit.
Urban Dictionary Word of the Week.
I have a document here, hang on, called Urban Dictionary Words. Let me open it and see if
Urban Dictionary! Urban Dictionary! Urban Dictionary! Word of the week.
Okay, second-hander. I don't know what it is. I haven't clicked on the link. But I've
second-hander.
Yep, second-hander. One word.
It's a second-hander. This is where you help a friend of yours give someone a hand job. Everyone knows that. Second-hander.
It's actually not there. But, there's an alternate definition. The transition made from one's dominant hand to his non-dominant hand when masturbating, but that's not the one I was going for. Someone who gets their ideas, opinions, values exclusively from society and from others as opposed to getting an idea from within oneself, a value from personal rational process, or an opinion from experience.
That would be the vast majority of people, and that was written by someone with a weird chip on their shoulder. We all stand on the shoulders of giants, can't all think our way through absolutely every philosophical question that's presented to us ourselves, because who wants to spend 30 years learning about
Will. Not sure why I put that in there, actually. It's not that interesting. It's a bit shit.
Not that
Urban Dictionary sucks. No,
what's your auntie been talking about?
Well, several things. Which one are we going to do?
My auntie recently sent me Bored to Death, which I'd never seen before.
Bored to Death is very good.
Yeah, so I've started making my way through it.
Yeah. The Ultimate Fighter has started a new season, but that will only be interesting for people who are already into MMA stuff. But if you are into MMA, then hey, The Ultimate Fighter started, so you should get into it. I think that will probably do for this week. How about that? Considering we've got no more time left.
Yeah, good idea. Stop there.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.
Thank you so much for listening. It's been grand having you. What a good guest. See you next week. Goodbye.
You're listening to The Weekly Show on
With course.
All right, we're using that one.
I couldn't remember the name of the show.
This one?
What are we doing now?
It's called Discourse.
No. There was a show that I wanted to mention, but I didn't put it in the doc, so I can't remember what it was called.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is why I was a little bit messy there and pretended I was trying to decide between a bunch of options.
Mm. And I fell beautifully with the one thing I've seen recently that I hadn't before.
Big yawn.
Malin is yawning.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, I keep her awake with my snoring. I don't snore, so that's clearly a lie.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
There's no extra large this week.